All right, welcome to Scripture Bros. And it's been a while. It's been another one of those 3-week hiatuses. Life is crazy, but God is good, right? So we're back and we're doing something a little different tonight. We have a what I've been air quoting a resident expert with us, and we're very excited because instead of us discussing theological ideas or exegetes from scripture or Greek and Hebrew or biblical theology, anything like we usually do, we're actually going to interview the man that you see here, pastor, doctor, missionary, husband, wife. No, not a wife. I mean, I guess nowadays you can just choose if you want. you check all the boxes. But we have, I always call him Pastor Sam, and I didn't know until today that he was a doctor. Like I was reading, I'll read his bio here in just a second, but we have Pastor Sam on with us, and we're going to talk tonight kind of loosely the topic of the church, kind of where it started, kind of where it's at, what Pastor Sam has seen in his ministry, not only as a pastor, but also a layperson. Not only as a layperson, but also someone overseas, missionary work and being raised or slightly raised in a different country. He has a lot of really good insight to this topic. So we thought that whenever we were able to book Pastor Sam, you know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. And maybe he'll come back and we'll talk about some of his specialties as far as his theological kind of things that you're an expert in, right? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, man, you would be the perfect person that I know to discuss the church. And I know you have a rich history in the church and you've been at it your whole life. And so what I want to do, if it's okay, just I want to read a little bit of your bio.
Okay.
And then I'll ask you to open up for yourself for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then a few minutes later, we'll start with some questions. That sound okay?
Sure.
All right.
And thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And good to have this time with you, Sky, and Brandon.
Yep. Amen. So we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Good, I should say. We can do all kinds of stuff without him. But so let's pray real quick, and then we'll jump in. Lord, we love you, and it's really in your name that we do this. We want to know about your church, the ecclesia, if you will, and how you wanted it to go, and kind of just as brothers discussing where it's at now and what's good and what's not so good. How can we help? And in all things, we want to bring glory to you, Lord. And please help us to stay away from anything that might go down a road that's not bringing glory to you. I trust your conviction. And I'm so thankful for these brothers. Thankful for Pastor Sam. Thankful for Brandon. Lord, have your way. Please help this impact someone that's listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so here's just quick bio for Pastor Sam.
You said this earlier, and I was like,
yeah.
I don't know that I should be here.
Yeah, I need to make it quick because...
Well, you don't have to read all of them.
I'm not. I'm just going to highlight some cool things. Pastor Sam is a teacher and a writer, a counselor. He told, you know, someone that I know told me that you were also kind of famous.
Famous?
I mean, like,
or infamous.
In certain communities, mainly the Indian kind of church community. Yeah. You know, I don't want to expose who it was, but someone very close to you, even related, had said, now, Pastor Sam, he, you know, anyway, so that's not why we're here, but he served at a church for many years in Lakeland and born in India,
right.
Until the age of 7. Right.
Right.
And, he heads up several different ministries. He's a pastor right now. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but in his career life, he's a IT specialist.
Got another IT person here. Yay!
IT specialist. He has a master's, a bachelor's, a doctorate. This guy. So that's why I had him on, because and Brandon and I both had him on because we were like, we need to. Who else do we know with a pedigree that can talk about this topic? 30 plus years.
Not to interrupt.
You're good.
But I'm going to interrupt. Not to mention the experience.
Right.
Of being in the field of mission.
Yep.
And seeing, you know, boots on the ground for Christ.
Right.
Along with the education to go with it.
Right. Kind of been at the top of what we would consider, whether that's accurate or not, the church pastor role, or, and also in the dirt, building wells for people in India. And he went to, I didn't know this, but this, I want to ask you a lot of questions because I'm considering right now, he went to Dallas Theological Seminary. That is, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. I actually, there's a, you may know, there's a College of Biblical Studies in Houston that partners with them to do something called a 4+1. So they offer you an accelerated kind of, so I'm actually just getting emails trying to figure out, anyway, long story. So I want to ask if you will kind of, from here, I kind of gave a brief summary. Why do you think that you have a lot of, a lot to say about this topic of the church, the multifaceted church, where it was, where it is, like how do you have the ability to kind of speak into all those different levels?
Thank you. And it's really from the mission field, like you were saying, Brandon. And boots on the ground is different than sitting in a college or even a church that's a comfortable church. When you're in the field, it's a total, it shakes you up. It shakes up your theology, it shakes up your worldview, it shakes up everything. And you start to really see what God is trying to do or doing or what we think God should do. So I've been shaped by a lot of that. I've been shaped by my actual on the ground experience. And so coming from that, you know, it's from my own background. My dad was a pastor and we were in missions and ministry my whole life. I really grew up in the church. And during college years in Houston, University of Houston, Houston Baptist, that's when I started really questioning, what do I really believe? Is all this really true? Is, I mean, I knew it was right. We, you know, good church kid, pastor's kid,
sure.
PKs. you know what they say about PKs, right?
I do.
But beyond that, it's... And maybe there's some PKs listening, you know, maybe you've gotten a bad experience from church, or maybe you're overly influenced by church to maybe some things you didn't quite like. And maybe this is going to speak to you. I hope the Holy Spirit can that maybe encourage you through that. And I feel that even now as we start this,
amen,
that somewhere along the line through life and challenges in church, and you may have gotten a bad experience. But I pray that today you'll get some encouragement from this as we look at the church, as we look at missions, look at real realities of some of this, East and West, and however the Lord takes it.
Sure.
But from that, my mission experience is really in the church planting. We're establishing the believer, discipling them, and growing them into the next generation of believers, Sunday school, youth, all those ongoing. And the Lord's been good. I can't claim all the credit of all this, hardly any. The Lord's grace, he directed a lot of these things. I personally wouldn't have chose the way I was brought into this.
Yeah.
But God is much wiser and better and bigger than all of us. So,
amen.
I'll share a couple of stories that, but just the one thing to kind of tie into this is, when I was in a remote village in North India, Bihar State, and we went there to show the Jesus film, which is Campus Crusade's famous film that most of the world has seen. It's a video of the life of Christ. And so we went there early, got set up, and with this quote pastor, or the local pastor there, this little village church, was there, but I didn't know it was him. It just looked like a regular guy. He's just one of the villagers. And pretty soon all these folks were coming around him and just kind of really warming up to him. And you could tell, then somebody said, yeah, that's the pastor. And so I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, this can't be the pastor. He doesn't look like a pastor. He doesn't talk like a pastor. He's not got any pastoral-like qualities that we have in our mind or
didn't
seen.
Go to seminary.
Yeah. He's never been to seminary. But you know, when he prays for people in his village, they get healed. So I just had a God moment there and I just questioned God, what is this? We're doing all this stuff, you know, building our pedigree and trying to follow all this. And this guy has none of that. And yet he's being used to reach people, his own people, and it's working. And he's not about any publicity of anything. He's nothing. So I took a picture of him. I brought that picture back and showed it at our church here in Lakeland. I said, this guy is winning more souls than we've ever done in this church. All of you put together, me included. So, and they looked at this picture of this guy, and he's disheveled, and he's kind of sun beating down on him because the weather, the conditions on the ground are nothing like what we think about church. That's when I had a real different picture about what the church is. What is the church?
Yes.
What is the church? The ecclesia, what God intended. And the Lord really dealt with me then. That's what I'm doing is kind of the word that I got. Just go with what I'm doing already. Don't try to reinvent the church. Just go with what I'm doing. And he was doing what Jesus commanded to do, right? Go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, right? And lo, I'm with you always. And this guy, simple guy. So that is kind of where my whole worldview shift in kind of going away from like religious or Christian world, which is all good.
Sure.
I'm not taking away my own upbringing. Because my dad and mom, my whole family, they poured out a lot into me, church. But the actual conditions made me look at the world and Eastern religious experiences versus what we in the West have. And I've gotten a good mix of both, so I'm able to see it.
Right.
I think that'll be helpful today.
Amen. So, may I?
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Of course you do. We know you.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I'm always wondering something. But I'm willing to, you good? All right, think about something. So my question.
Yeah.
Understanding what the story you just told me, I want to stay that because, man, I don't think you understand, maybe you do, but the magnitude of what you just said is groundbreaking. It's shaking me thinking about that because here you are still in academia, right?
Right.
Still teaching, reading books, right, and still doing the pedigree building in a way, but yet you've seen something so organic.
Yeah.
So when you saw that, what did you feel you had to change in the church or what you were, because you were a pastor, right?
Right.
When you went, so you left a pastor of a large church.
Medium size.
Okay. A couple hundred people or something like that. Okay. And that was more of a traditional church with the lights and the smoke and the like the tracks and the okay. So you left there and then you went to India in the dirt, right? And this guy's healing people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. And you're just like shook. You already told us that. Yeah. So when you came back, was there anything where you were like, I need to change something that we're doing or something was missing? Or how did you kind of bridge that?
Yeah, I told the church the week I got back, I told them, we need to change some things because obviously some things we're doing are not working and what he's doing is working.
Yeah.
Not that it's just healings, but just genuinely people are coming to Christ.
Sure.
Right. All of us want to bring more people to Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal of this podcast is to encourage somebody to put their faith and trust in Christ. And so when we're seeing that, when God kind of messes with us a little bit like that, we should take a step of faith. So we got more into missions as a result of that. I took a whole team on a mission trip. I think the next summer we had like 16 people going on the mission trip. I took them to the same place and we did the whole medical camp and a whole bunch of things. Great things came out of that. But I think the challenge is just to get people to go. It's that command of Jesus, just go. Or as you go, the actual root word, root tense of that is as you go, you know, make disciples, not just to go. As you're going, as you're already doing, as you're working, as you're in IT.
Oh, that's beautiful.
As you're sharing.
That is, you know, so good.
As you're doing the regular stuff, as you go to Publix.
It's like everywhere is a destination.
Everywhere. There's people everywhere. All we just got to do is just kind of, Lord, I'm cooperating with you. Whatever you've got. I've got a couple of stories about me sitting in an airplane seat. And I had no idea that the person that would come sit next to me, I would end up talking to on a flight, right? So does the airline pick the seat or does God pick the seat?
Yeah, right.
I'm in 15C and he's in 15D. So every opportunity. So all I do is I say, Lord, I'm available. Whatever you want to do. And so those are kind of the exciting things, the adventurous things. There's also, you know, the tough things with the ministry, and it's a hard thing, traveling to these places,
yeah,
raising the money, you know, prayer and spiritual warfare. There's a lot of that. So we can touch on some of that too. And that's an East and West thing too.
Sure.
So we can touch on that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we'll get into a lot of stuff. I have another question unless you do. All right, Pastor Sam. Let's go.
Hey, you got to give Brandon some
time. I give him the chance every time. He can go anytime he wants. But, you know, I'm a professional talker. So, okay. So let me ask you a more direct question, because I'm picturing you in India with this guy, right? And I'm picturing you like amazed at how simple it seemed. Is that kind of a good word for what you saw?
Yeah.
So what did he have, do you think? Like, was it just this overwhelming amount of faith that Jesus could, or that Jesus would? Like, what was your interaction with this guy like?
I think it's just simple faith.
Simple faith.
Yeah. He didn't really have any big obstacles to it. It wasn't like, well, God, if you don't heal, what about this? And what about this verse that says, well, maybe if it's the Lord's will. He just doesn't think about all that. Somebody comes to him for prayer, he'll just pray for them. And I don't think in his mind, I couldn't see that he was like all doubtful about all that. He'll just go on. It's the Lord's will, and the Lord will do it. The Lord will do what he's going to do. We just are vessels. We're just willing hands and feet. That's all.
Amen.
He's working through each of us, any of us, right? There wasn't anything more than that. And that's why I didn't even know he was the pastor. He was like an ordinary guy. And I think this is a shift in also our thinking about the disciples. And I think The Chosen really brings this out now. Disciples weren't these big superstar kind of glow-in-the-dark people. They're just regular old guys, you know. They didn't even stand out in the crowd of the day. Even Jesus wasn't shining
bright.
In fact, Jesus got lost in the crowd and they couldn't find him because he's just one of them. He just wasn't. But how much of a difference that is between now, right? And we've elevated people to the superstar level, put them on a platform. And then when they fall, you wonder, why did they fall? Well, anybody that goes up like that will probably, the enemy goes after those folks, right? And we see that in the church today. So that's humbleness. I think part of your answer is he's kind of humble. He's not looking for a big thing. And he's very thankful for what he does have. And he's just simple faith. Just simple faith.
Not a big Bible scholar.
No.
Probably couldn't tell you Greek or Roman or.
But I'm pretty sure, he's read the Bible several times.
Yeah.
Just reading it through. Just in the Hindi version. No commentaries, none of that.
Yeah.
Just reading it. There's something great about that.
That's beautiful. Because I think about that all the time, how in the American church, to become a pastor, they want you to go to seminary and they want you to do all the, you know, be a youth pastor and then be, you know, like young adults pastor.
Right.
And then, okay, well, now you can be like a pastor over the congregation, but you can't speak on stage. And there's all these levels to it, like business life.
Yep.
But in other countries, they're just out there reading the Bible. Exactly what Paul did when he was going through the Mediterranean in the Middle East.
Yep.
Just saying, this is what I learned.
Yeah.
I'm sharing it. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I just think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Do you think that we kind of get, because on Brandon's point, there's a super high emphasis on education, right? How many letters do you have behind your name? And the more letters you have, the more qualified you are to whatever. I know you probably see value in that.
Mm, oh yeah, definitely.
But you also, do you think it gets in the way sometimes? And if so, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it can. I'm definitely a proponent of education. I think it was Billy Graham during his later years, they were asking him, do you have any regrets? What would you do more? He said, I would study and read more. So this guy was world evangelist, you know, millions of people. And he's saying he would study more, he would read more. So yeah, there's always more opportunities to read, grow, learn. And I'm always doing that, by the way. I'm just, I usually, in the mornings, I'll read something old and something new, like an old, like a Spurgeon's thing, and then somebody new, like today's people that are on the ministry today, just to get a perspective of old, new. And then I'm not just because I'm in the coursework, but I enjoyed some of these readings. And just to keep us in the flow of what the Lord, what are you saying to me through Rick Warren or James, what is his name? James Sire. You know, what are you saying to me through whoever? And it doesn't have to be books. It can be just short clips. It can be a podcast. It can be a video on YouTube. It can be a 30-second reel.
Yeah.
So as long as we're willing and available, say, Lord, I'm open. I'm not closed-minded.
Right.
Right. I'm willing to learn. Obviously, we have to discern what we're allowing in. But definitely, the value of education is important because there's so much false teaching nowadays.
Yeah.
A solid, good theological basis is always good. And not everyone can do that because of all kinds of, you know, constraints, family, cost, travel. Those are all real. And a lot of courses now are online. You can do it without having to travel anywhere. But that's a calling too. That's the Lord showing you that. Lord, are you directing me to that or things like that? But definitely, if you have an opportunity to do it, definitely do it. Mm.
It can't hurt.
Can't hurt. Well, I mean, the school obviously is important. Where you get the degree is really also important because of so much false teaching nowadays.
Right.
Unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
And so I would definitely go with an accredited school, a fully accredited school. There's lots of, I was talking to somebody the other day about the same thing, about he wants to pursue this, and he gave me a couple of names of schools, and I said, I don't know if they're accredited. Check that before you do anything. Because there's good intentions and good knowledge, but if it's bent towards a certain teaching,
sure,
then they're going to always go that way.
Right.
But if they're rooted in God's word, saying, we're going to actually look at the Bible. It is a Bible school. Duh, right? <It's> a
duh. You would think, duh. He would think, it's not always, though.
No, hardly. There's lots of schools that don't even go into the Bible actual text.
Yeah.
Well, to your point, I think who they're accredited by is just as important, because there's certain bodies that their accreditation is kind of like, you look into it and you're like, that's not what I believe at all.
Right. But
you're considering yourself accredited by this institution.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
That's a good point for sure. I have one more question about the missionary. Man, I gotta go, because I've never felt like I feel like a lot of missionary work can happen here in Plant City,
yeah,
as you know, right? But what you're explaining to me, there's so many distractions eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's, you don't worry about a car insurance. You're not worried about your air conditioner. You're not worried about who's got good coffee. I mean, who's wearing what clothes? There's so many things that eliminated. Who do they know? Who are they connected with? Like, it's just Jesus, and it's just struggling. Mm-hmm. Brings out a need for movement, right, of the Holy Spirit. And I just picture you kind of in that village. And I wonder, is there any talk of denominations in that setting?
No.
What slant do you go with? Or are you cessationist, non-cessationist? Are you?
No.
Oh, man, can you imagine? Well, you can't. You've been there.
And it's refreshing.
Yes.
To not have to do all that.
Yeah.
Man. I'm just glad anyone's coming to these villages, because as you go to these places, not just in India or any place where there's remote villages, not just the big cities. Now, obviously, the big cities are where most people live now.
Yeah.
But there's still plenty of places where the gospel hasn't been reached, and most of the unreached areas are away from the big city. So when you see that and you realize, wow, Lord, no one's coming here except God-ordained people
right,
that are in tune with something God wants to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nobody would. This isn't a tourist spot.
Right.
This isn't a vacation spot. Who would come here?
You'd probably get malaria so, from coming here.
It's so interesting because pre-COVID, my wife's work sent her to New Delhi.
Yeah.
And she spent 14 days in India.
Wow.
And her guides and stuff got her to and from work and everything. She's like, oh, it doesn't look that bad here. And they're like, well, that's because this is the main street. Mm. Like two blocks over, there's people living in the street.
Sure. Slums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally the slums were right off of the main street. But I guess either the local government or the government as a whole just hides it from people coming in.
Yep.
So like her drive to work, she's like, there's wild dogs that are running all over the place. But other than that, she's like, I don't see homeless people other than what they tell me.
Yeah.
But, She has a desire to do missions work in India.
Yeah, me too.
She's been talking about it for years. Like she doesn't know how.
Yeah.
But she wants to go to India to do missions work.
This is your sign, patience. Go do it.
This may be a confirmation for you.
Right? Yeah.
So, she loves the Indian people. She just has such a heart for them because she has employees over there. And in corporate America, she can't share the gospel, right?
Yeah.
But she can share the gospel. Kind of.
Yeah.
She can be different than everybody else.
Yeah.
She can show those employees she's caring, she's loving.
Sure.
She cares about them outside of just their work life and making them do their job. So she does try to do that without coming out and saying, hey, do you follow Jesus?
Yeah. Like, right.
Right.
Because we still have bills to pay here, obviously.
And the Lord will give wisdom for those moments, how to be winsome, respectful, and yet loving and caring, not just in your face kind of gospel presentation.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
And God will use her personality in the unique way that God has built her.
Right.
Right. And only her. And so, each of us, right? There's only certain people that you will be able to reach because your personality is a certain way. Mm-hmm. Right. And others try to reach, if Brandon tries to reach the same people with your way, it just probably won't work. And with me too, and my wife, that's the way God wanted it.
Yeah.
Just let us be ourselves. Kind of friendship evangelism.
Sure. All right. Well, go ahead, man.
To that point, that's one of my biggest issues with street evangelists is they just stand out there and scream at people.
Right.
And they're not building a relationship.
Right.
I think you have to build a relationship.
You do.
I've only been saved for 5 years, as of Mother's Day, 5 years. But when I was agnostic, anybody who wanted to come to me and be like, oh, you're going to hell because you're a sinner, I'm like, I don't want to hear that. It took somebody literally dedicating a year of their life to building a friendship with me and showing me what true Christianity was for me to be like, I'm even at that point, I was then willing to walk in the door of a church between him and my wife. Yeah. She was like, I really want to get back into church. And that's that friendship. And the relationship with my wife is what brought me to God.
Yeah.
Not being beat over the head with a Bible.
Right.
You beat anybody over the head with anything, they're going to run away from you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Sam, can you look back at as early as you can and tell me what church was like when you were a young little lad?
Whippersnapper.
Yeah. Whatever you can remember in music style, offering presentation, whatever comes to mind as far as what you remember and kind of how it's changed over. This is kind of why we came to talk.
Right.
What's the progression? Not positive or negative, but just the what's changed, you know, from then till now.
Yeah, and I grew up kind of in the 70s in Chicago and then Houston through college and high school and college and then Florida after that into more of ministry on my own. We were, as a family, we grew up and my dad was a pastor. And my whole family on dad's side was in ministry, either evangelism or something. So it was always church. So your answer to your short answer is it's about church. Every time the doors are open, there's church service.
Yeah.
So either we're going with my dad to church or coming home or midweek or whatever. And my brother and I were the two, and we kind of helped with all the different aspects of church, setting up, tearing down, cleaning up and visitations and everything. We didn't even know better. We just kind of went along. We with dad and mom sometimes. She was working mostly, so mostly with my dad. And we visited, we helped, kind of the pastoral level. I saw that, but I didn't really, you know, talk about it much with him. He never really discussed it. We just did it.
Yeah.
So looking back now, years and years later, I said, wow, we did a lot. And I didn't even realize what we were doing. We just kind of hung out. So some of that was just caught. And if I would ask, well, do you want to go with your dad? Probably, no, I don't want to go. But, you know, some of it wasn't our choice. We did. But the one memory I do have, and Matt probably has the same, my brother, is that every weekend we had a guest in our house. Mm. And usually it was a pastor or an evangelist or somebody traveling through. And we would just open up our home. And usually my brother and I, we would give up our beds for this visiting family or pastor. And it wasn't even a big issue. We just knew, oh, here comes Friday night. Okay, it's time to move to the other room, give up our rooms, bedrooms. And we weren't in big homes back then. These were just regular little apartment buildings or small homes and things. So that was my earliest memory, is giving up our bedrooms for traveling pastors and events.
Yeah.
Which most of them I didn't even know. My dad knew them all. And they were a blessing. I look back and those folks probably blessed us in intangible ways, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking all that, the inconvenience of it and all was there, but we were kids. We didn't really, we were just playing around. Some of it was, yeah, okay, there we go again, you know, another weekend we don't get to sleep in our beds. But those are good memories. The tougher parts were probably, we don't get to do a lot of the fun stuff like kids would do. Maybe we're more ministry oriented. Church, every weekend there's meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
Which, looking back on it now, I guess maybe we were deprived of some things like sports or something. Maybe we would have probably gone to more games or ball games or something like that. But I didn't feel it then that I was being deprived. But as you get older, I guess you feel some of that maybe. But that's kind of a general.
Okay.
But growing up in church.
Did you guys have the dim lights and the fog machines?
No, we had none of that. Oh, so more of the actual church service,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, there was none of that.
Pews, right?
No, just regular chairs.
Okay.
Folding chairs.
Like the aluminum ones? Nice.
And no carpeting, no kind of wild lights or anything.
Yeah.
Just basic everything, just like a basic microphone, basic keyboard. Sometimes there was keyboard, sometimes there was no instruments. Hmm. We had tambourine. I remember the tambourine. We were going with the tambourine. And then it was really, the worship was really kind of from, you can tell they were really into it, not working out.
Yeah.
Now we have like, start off with a fast song, work itself down to a slow, mellow song. None of that. We just went with it. Whatever was going, we went with it.
Yeah.
And so there was more of a genuineness. People were really wanting to be there.
Amen.
And fellowship was a big deal. You know, we weren't big churches then, so we had good fellowship. We had food. We had people sharing potlucks. Those are my memories of that. My mom used to cook. I remember she would work night shift and then come home on Sunday morning and cook.
Jeez.
Cook for people. And others would bring food, so it was a big potluck. But they loved that.
Yeah.
And some of that was great. Yeah, and as far as the traditional kind of, you say it's traditional, kind of a Pentecostal, traditional Pentecostal, I would say mostly. But we had people from all over. We had people that were coming to Christ from all different backgrounds, traditional, Orthodox, Catholics, non-Christian, non-believer friends would just bring. So it's more of a caringness. They felt somehow that these folks cared about me. And that's kind of what brought them, I think. And I think that's still the formula today.
Yeah.
Right? Why would I go to a church where nobody really even knows me or cares about me and doesn't know if I show up or don't show up? So that ties into kind of the Western Eastern, right? There's more of a connection with Eastern churches because they're not so much the mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, but mostly they're medium to small. So there's more of a closeness. and a fellowship. And that word is a big word. And through my ministry, I've seen that fellowship is a huge part of church, any gatherings.
Just kind of eating together and doing life together and walking together.
That Acts 2:42 is the verse. I just wanted to just touch on that.
Let's do it.
That's the first church. And that's the kind of the verse that I often come back to. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then it goes on and says, the Lord added to the church, right? They sold property. They went from house to house. They did a lot of good things. But that core verse, there's four things there, right? Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. If a church doesn't have those four, they probably are not fulfilling what God intended of a New Testament church. And a lot of churches have one or two or maybe three, but I think a complete church would have some of that, all of that.
Yeah.
And it kind of works. It's God's formula. We've gotten everything else, right? We've gotten church growth conferences, which they teach you how to grow your church through marketing, through websites, through
every small fee. right.
And I'm not knocking any of those techniques. I've even read some of those techniques in books and all that, how to grow your church. And some of those do work. But I'm wondering if we get away from what God said too far.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, we've got to either come back to it or we've got to see where we've diverged over to the things that we see today. Where almost every mega church is in scandal mode. Not all of them, but most of them.
Almost.
Especially through COVID, we saw this. Almost every week there was a scandal, something, either abuse of leadership, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, leadership abuse.
Money.
It's like you said earlier about a business.
Right. At what point is it too far a business and too far away from the word of God?
Right.
Because like you said, he lays the formula out for us for our entire life in the Bible, right?
Exactly.
If we follow that formula, then we're successful in God's eyes.
Yeah.
But at what point does a church say, I think I can do it better?
Mm-hmm.
And then they walk away from that formula. And now you have, like you're saying, all these scandals.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it Bill Hybels recently that admitted to this, like where our model wasn't what we thought it would be. We're not identifying enough spiritual growth in this Willow Creek model, which was adopted by hundreds of churches, I think. And it's because it's run like a business.
Yeah.
And there are business elements in a church. Obviously, you know, you've got to handle some of that personnel and, but we get away from the core of what Jesus wanted, then I think that's where it leads into the enemy starts playing with that too.
Yeah. How do you remember retention growing up in church? Do you remember seeing people in and out, like almost strangers every week and then leaving, never seeing them again? Or because of that, would a good word be like that koinonia, like type of fellowship? Because of that, did you see people staying for extended periods of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mainly through those connections, because definitely they stayed. And then they usually brought somebody and the church grew. We met initially in our church, in our house, in our basement. In Chicago, up north, there's all basements. So we had a whole big room in the bottom. So we met there and then we moved out to a school. And then a YMCA, so just...
That's cool.
So yeah, the core stayed.
Yeah. I love, I'm just looking at verse 43. So we have 42, right?
Mm-hmm.
Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which you'd probably include Jesus' teaching in there too, right? You wouldn't exclude, but you definitely wouldn't exclude Paul. It's everything, you know?
Everything, right.
And then to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, the next verse is, I think, what every church right now is going for.
Mm-hmm.
And fear, reverence, awe, respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done.
Mm-hmm.
We do obviously want the wonders and the signs, but you got to have the respect. And that seems to come through the teachings and the fellowship and it's all right here, you know? And I'm getting like really impacted by that because I can partly see with my own eyes, being in some level of ministry at the moment, that it's like when this guy is drinking. Kind of a weird segue, but stay with me. You got this guy and he's drinking and he gets pulled over and rolls down the window and he says, "What's the officer problem?" like gave it away. Like, and then it's just like, it's this way of kind of putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Right. You know, it's like we're trying to do this biblical thing, but we're not pronouncing it correctly. We're chasing very niche, right? We're not just letting things flow. We're manufacturing things in a lot of ways. And I think it's because, like you're saying, the four things aren't there. It's
an easier way to remember this. Chuck Swindoll had a great teaching on this, and he used the acronym WIFE, W-I-F-E.
I remember that.
Worship, instruction, fellowship, and extension or evangelism. So worship is core of any church, right? Not just music, just actual people entering into worship.
Right.
Instruction, like the apostles' teaching, or good teaching. And then fellowship. Fellowship is huge. That's the connection point of people. Yeah. Like if you visit a church, if you don't know somebody there, you'll probably won't go back, right? It was a great church. They did all the right things, but I really don't connect with anybody. I didn't connect with anybody there personally, right? A friend, a relative, a neighbor, something. Then the extension E, which is evangelism outside those four walls or outside wherever we meet, there's a big world out there. God's doing a lot. We just need to plug into some of that. Because I made the mistake of trying to start new things years ago in my 30s, I think. Let's start a new thing. And we had some people that were really encouraged to do all that and wanted to, because we were younger, you know. And it's all good, nothing wrong with new things. But I've felt the sense of the Lord saying, just plug into what I'm already doing.
Yeah, right.
Don't reinvent the things I'm already doing.
Right.
And there's so much God is doing. We just need to find it, ask the Lord. Where can I plug in?
Yeah.
And maybe that's for you, Sky. You know, God's already doing a lot, and you guys are very equipped already. You guys have more talent, and the people watching and hearing this, you are already more talented than most of the world that are, quote, professional ministry people. There's a place where God has for you. And you just got to say, Lord, I'm available. You don't have to figure it all out yourself.
Yeah.
He won't show you everything anyway. If God had showed me when I was in my 20s or something that I would be traveling to all these places, mission work, and now in teaching in a Bible school and doing all this stuff, I would have said, you're crazy. You got the wrong guy. Not me. Yeah. I'm not about that. But, you know, you just kind of go with faith. There's a little bit of faith in there, right?
Yeah.
Because God won't show you everything. We couldn't handle it if he did.
Right.
Right? We can barely handle tomorrow, right? What's happening this weekend? What about 5 years? So if somebody asks you, what's your 5-year plan? I said, well, I'm going to go with God.
Yeah, amen.
Because I don't know what 5 years looks like. I mean, a general way you do, you kind of have to have some kind of a trajectory. But to say, all right, in 5 years, I'm going to be in this Bible school teaching. Okay. Yeah, maybe that'll work out. You should definitely have an aim, right? You're pulling that arrow and you're aiming at something. If you aim at nothing, right, the saying is you'll definitely hit it.
Yeah.
Aim at nothing. Yeah. So keep options open, keep available. And God can use anyone, everywhere, anywhere.
That's right. We got about 15 minutes left.
Wow.
It went quick.
We know. Interesting. We touched on some of the questions already without even knowing.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, well, I know. Maybe you find
sneaky.
I know.
Oh, I see.
So what do you have that you would like, before we go, what's on your mind?
We covered a ton already.
So we did.
I don't know.
I can't wait to watch this back.
I know.
I feel like I missed so much. You want to think while I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I have a question.
Go for it, man.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you've raised a family in ministry, obviously. How long have you been married?
37 years.
Okay.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, amazing.
That's awesome.
We edited that tape. I mean, I think it's 38.
His wife's way better than him. As most of our wives are. Okay, so you've raised a family. Three children.
Yeah.
Okay. You went to school throughout this whole kind of process and in ministry.
Yeah.
For at least 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Past. Okay. So the majority of your entire marriage has been in ministry, and all of your time as a father, right? In some type
by vocational ministry.
Okay.
I worked the whole time.
That's amazing. It's beautiful.
And it's been in IT most of it, all of it, even now.
So is there something that, let's say there's someone listening that young in ministry or thinking of, you know, feeling like it's where they want to go is the actual professional ministry, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you could say, don't do this, do this? Like, what's some things looking back? Like, I know Billy Graham said one time he'd spend more time at home. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be on the road so much. And that's kind of blows our mind, right? Because you're like, man, you saved millions of souls. Right. And he's like, no, I would have spent more time with my wife. I was away from her and my kids a long time. So is there anything that maybe you can share on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, don't wait for all conditions to get lined up perfectly before you do something.
Wow.
Just do it. And Moses was like, God asked Moses, what do you got in your hand? I got this stick. Yeah. What are you going to do with a stick? I don't know. Give me that stick. Throw it down. He'll do it. He said, I can't speak. I'm stuttering, right? Hey, who created your tonsils, your vocal cords?
Right.
I'll take care of that. If we wait for everything to line up, we'll never do it. The reason I have this much varied experience is because I just took it. Not all of it was perfectly planned out. In fact, some of it was very chaotic. The trips and the planning. And my wife can attest to this. Are we going to like sit down and map it all out? I sometimes do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. I'm all for planning. But sometimes you just got to go with it and just take a step and say, Lord, okay. So I would say that don't wait for everything to line up before you do whatever you feel. If there's a little nudge of something, and it doesn't have to be across the world. It can be right across here, right? Your neighbor, right? Somebody. And now the world is here on the phone. It's so awesome. You can text somebody. We've got WhatsApp people all over. They're in these groups, and I sometimes will look at these groups and say, wow, you're like, where are you? I mean, Middle East or something. And you just kind of send somebody a text, an encouraging word, or just something, or maybe a question. What do you think about what just happened over in Gaza? Whoa. You get something.
Yeah.
And then the Lord can open up the next thing. And there's always, God is on the move. I said, God is working. It's like a train. It stops every now and then at a station to pick up passengers and drop off passengers, right? But it doesn't stay there too long. Hmm. It's going to the next station, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going. The kingdom of God's like this. It's on the move. You and I are just part of this. We're latched onto that gospel train. Every now and then we get to stop, take a break. Come back on, bring new people, get rid of some people. Some people just need to get off that train. Maybe we can kick them off the train. But then the train keeps moving. It's nonstop. The kingdom is moving. God's winding this up. You know, we don't know the time or date, but things are moving faster.
Oh, yeah.
You all sense it. Everyone watching knows tonight's news, right? You saw what's happening. So everything that's happening is pushing us all towards the culmination of history, the gospel, the church, what God is doing. And we're all just privileged, humbled to say, God, whatever I can do to be a little cog in this big wheel, that's all really. We're not into any big ministries. I sometimes wish I would have gotten into like bigger things, like bigger churches, bigger ministries. You know, I could have probably worked through into that, but when I see all these big ministries failing and
man,
scandal mode, I think, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
I'd rather not go there. I'd rather finish faithfully well. You know,
amen.
I want to finish well. We all want to finish well, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, yeah, I did all this great things for you, but then at the end, I kind of blew it.
Mm. Ravi Zachariah comes to mind.
Right.
Yeah. It's still hard for me to believe some of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys maybe have done an episode or two on some of that.
Right? No.
No, we haven't touched that.
Oh, there we go.
But if you're interested, we can look at our calendars.
We should. But I do feel, I just got to say this, because I've felt this right at the beginning even. Someone's listening or watching later or hearing later. God is talking to you. God, the Holy Spirit, is talking to you. And kind of, you don't even know why you tuned in or why you're listening or what all is happening. Yeah, that's that Sky again. Yeah, we'll give him another chance. Brandon, yeah. I've heard Brandon, yeah. Let's just see what's going on now. All of a sudden, I think the Lord is saying to you, you're listening to this, and God's Spirit is saying to you, if you'll just make yourself available, I want to do some things with you, through you, and for my glory. And
amen.
I think that's part of the reason for this.
Amen.
And take that step.
Amen.
I had a guy in the church, a young guy. He said, Pastor, I want to go into the mission field. And he named a country. I had never heard of this country. And I said, well, what do you know about this place? Well, I just saw it online somewhere. I said, well, did you Google it? No, I haven't Googled it. Somebody told me about it. I said, well, first thing you got to do is Google it. Then you got to see how much it takes for a plane ticket over to there before you even know about the place. Then only then start even praying about it. Because if right away you'll know if it's for you or not.
Yeah.
If you don't know the first thing about it, how are you expecting to even pray about it? And as far as I know, he didn't do it. So I may have defeated him, but I, you know, put him down.
Helped him.
But I was being very realistic.
Sure.
Because it's not about the place. It's not even about the conditions. It's not even about qualifications. There's 12 fishermen, 11 fishermen. And one tax collector, and Judas was kind of a shady guy, but but most of them they had no education, really. All of us, and all of us listening, have more education than all the apostles.
For real.
We all do. Thankful that God has allowed us, right? All this. But in Acts, in the same book, it says they turned the world upside down without technology, without fog machines. Without sound systems, without microphones. Right. They're all good. Nothing against. We should use every available means to somehow get this out and share it. And it doesn't even have to be all religious sounding. That's why I think podcasts are great, because we're more natural speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because in church, it sometimes tends to be preacher mode or kind of, you know, official sounding mode, which is okay. But I like the casual talks better.
Yeah.
And that may be where the East and West kind of intersect. For somebody from the East or a Western mindset or Western church upbringing can't relate to Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, animist, whatever the culture and the way they grew up, can't seem to connect. But in casual conversations, they can. You invite them for dinner. And food is a big time joiner of hearts and minds. Sports, too. So invite them for dinner and then try their food. You try our food. You try our food. Bring the food. Food. You notice in Jesus' ministry, most of the time it was around food.
Yeah.
There's a lot of food in that time. He knew how to connect with people. And that's what I think the Lord is still doing through wherever means we can.
Yeah. You got anything?
Not that I can think of right now. I'm just kind of like in awe.
I know. All right, so.
I am kind of.
Go ahead.
You brought up Muslims. Are there a lot of Muslims in you?
Yeah, about 20%.
20%. Yeah. The rest are Hindu.
Yeah.
Minus the Christians that are there.
Right. It's about 80 to 85 Hindu, 80 something. Now, these are official statistics, but the unofficial tells a different story, because they don't report the unofficial because it has all kinds of implications, job-wise, career. You lose a lot of things if you official Christianity is like 2 to 3%, but unofficially it's in 15 to 20%.
Oh wow.
And there's a lot of hidden and secret Christians, secret Hindus that know that there's more than this, those who are Muslim. And I think that's the way it is in a lot of places, where they don't want to officially say it because that'll that'll mess up a lot of things for them, family wise. They may even be killed.
Yeah, I actually was like a year and a half ago now. I read Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi.
Yeah.
And that book was extremely inspiring to be able to speak life into the Islamic people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God put that on my heart to actually be able to speak to Muslim populations to say, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're wrong. Like, let me show you why it's wrong.
Right,
I read both of his books, actually, the Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and his apologetics book that he wrote after that.
Yeah. It is very tough to, bring a person that's of a different faith to even consider Christianity. Because there's so many things.
That I would posit that Muslims are easier to convert than atheists.
Yes.
But at least they believe in something. Yep, atheists just think we just appeared out of nowhere.
That's right. Yeah, the monotheistic religions are definitely easier. It's that way with Hinduism too, even though they're not mono, but they're open to spirituality, which if you're not open to it at all, then it's harder, I think.
Yeah.
My background is also apologetics, so logical arguments make a lot of sense for me. And if it's not logical, I really can't really go too far with it. So in college, God got a hold of me through Josh McDowell and really looked at the evidence and the logical reasoning behind the faith of our what we believe. And so that a lot of times in atheist world or even agnostic world or just secular living, we kind of... Yeah, that's all good, but I'm all about this, or technology is driving everything. Until you see somebody at a funeral and you see the end of what they thought was going to be their life, they've been cut short at 35 years old, and what do? So as pastors, we see a lot of this, and I've gotten my share of having to deal with these hard topics. There's no yes or no answers to all of some of these.
Right.
And so that's where the fellowship factor really makes a difference.
They come to trust you and trust what you trust, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of how I came, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Colorado Ben.
Hey, shout out.
my friend Ben, he's an IT guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together for about 4 years. And he said he prayed every day for a year and a half for me without me knowing about it.
Wow.
But he just befriended me and continued to pray for me every day. And I mean, we're great friends to this day.
Man, that's great. Yeah. A friend like that.
Yeah.
Right.
He actually, it's so funny. He now comes to me for prayer because he's like, I don't know who else to go to.
It's a cool testimony.
It is. Yeah. Testimony. So
that's very cool.
But to your point, being in IT,
mm-hmm.
so used to the, it's logical, it has to go this way. It's if this, then that, all this very
1 0 1 0 1 1 1
very logical in place type thing. And so again, as living agnostic, I was like, it doesn't make sense. I can't put this abstract concept together and nobody had ever shown me that there's actually this true loving God. Now I'm type 1 diabetic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been diabetic since I was 4 years old.
Oh.
And so when I got to the age of going to church with my friends in middle school,
mm.
I was like, you guys talk about this loving God, but I lovingly refer to it as, I have this thorn in my side now that I've had since I was 4 years old. How do I deserve that if he loves me so much? And so I had this huge, I was angry for no reason because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And so it took that fellowship with Ben and that relationship in order to get me to see that God truly does love me and he has, a plan for me and everything. Like
yeah.
That, so.
Appreciate you, Ben.
Yeah. That's Amen. A great testimony. Very few people have that, a friend that will pray that long for anybody.
Yeah.
Even with, we mentioned Rabbi Zacharias before, and he mentioned in one of the talks, he said that he had this guy in his audience for like 2 years because he would come meet him after the service and talk about, all kinds of questions and objections, and then he wouldn't get saved. And it just went on for 2 years.
Mm.
He finally finally, it took him that long to get past all the objections. And he finally did it, but it took that long. So Rabbi was saying, you know, sometimes some people are just going to be a while.
Yeah.
The Lord knows. And as long as we are caring and loving and not hostile or pushy in your face, you know, where we have to be bold, we do, but where we don't, the Holy Spirit is much better than any of us.
Amen.
I think he knows what he's doing.
When they say Paul planted and Apollos watered,
the Lord gave the increase.
Right?
Yep.
The Lord gave. We work.
Yeah.
We work. We do what the Lord told us. The apostles' teachings.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah. Huh? Imagine that. Yeah. So
so a lot of the modern things, just to kind of tie that, because a lot of the good, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking what the Western Church is doing. Some of them are really good. Some of the things that the Western Church has brought in, a lot of good teaching, a lot of good, you know, books and commentaries and great scholars.
Yeah.
And even just the worship recently, you know, a lot of the good worship teams, not the good ones, not just the entertainment value ones, they've encouraged a worldwide resurgence of worship, right? People are singing worship songs like they've never done before. So there's a lot of good things too. So as discernment, whatever, Lord, you can use to reach however many people in whatever way. You know? And I think some of the work, like the model that Paul was the tent maker, right? He was working with his hands.
Yeah.
And he was not ashamed. He could receive a salary if he wanted to. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, I'm not going to burden anybody. I got my own income source. Hey, no problem. Thessalonian church can supply also. Great. God will bless you.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be a burden to anybody because the Lord's good. Not everybody's going to do that. That's fine. Not everybody's called into full-time ministry. But everybody's called to do something, right? You can do something. And this podcast is an example of that, right? So God bless this podcast and the ongoing work and ongoing stirring of our hearts, right? New ideas. I think we got some new ideas just now.
Yeah, man.
And things that God can use.
Rapid fire?
Rapid fire, sure. Let's do it.
All right, this was his idea.
I know.
Well, he told me about it. He wanted to do it.
What did I ask for? Do I know what I asked for?
All right. You got a rapid fire question?
I do not.
Okay. Rapid fire. Here we go. Pastor Sam. Read the Bible or study the Bible?
Read.
Yeah? Whoa. Wow. I didn't expect that.
The question from that is, what's the best version of the Bible? You know, is it New American, NIV,
yeah,
King James, and all those King James people? What's the best version of the Bible?
The one you read.
Exactly.
Disagree.
We can have a King James episode.
There's the Watchtower Bible.
Oh.
Oh, so better to... Better to
nobody's reading.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, it's great to study, obviously, but we can't even read until we get to reading. We're not studying anything. Nobody's reading. And we've got the most tools available ever.
That's right.
I've got a copy of the military Bible somebody gave me, a little heavy duty looking thing. It's supposed to withstand bullet fire and all this. But who's reading that?
Wear it around your chest.
There's the woman's Bible, the gender neutral Bible, every kind of Bible out there. No one's reading it.
The Democrat Bible. It's very thin. Sorry. You can put it anywhere. All right. Another rapid fire question. You got one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So how many countries do you think you've been to as far as missionary work? Or do you know?
Well, just visiting short term, I've probably like 5 or 6, but staying there, 2. So staying is better than traveling all over. It's good to travel, but if you're not really having a kind of something to establish that you can go back to and build on and
yeah,
things like that,
sure,
it's better. So I prayed about, Lord, you know, I want to go to a couple other places if you'd open the way. Some of those haven't opened, so I'm not burdened over it.
Sure.
But I've helped it, support it. Even though I can't go, I'll help. Like Suriname is a country, one of my friends that studied with me, he's working there and he's missionary right in the Amazon jungle, the actual Amazon jungle. Because nobody knows where the Amazon is now because it's all Amazon, or Amazon on the phone.
Buying oh, yeah, yeah.
But
he works in a warehouse.
He works in a warehouse. But he's doing great, effective work with people that are in the remote Amazon jungle. Which,
yeah.
Praise God.
And I wanted to go there, and I prayed about it several times, but it still hasn't opened up. Mm. So I'm not sweating over it.
Yeah. Lord's timing is best timing.
Yeah.
I got one more rapid fire question. Favorite story in the Bible and why?
Jonah.
Yeah. Huh.
Because it tests your apologetic, right?
Yeah.
There can't be a whale like that. There's no way somebody survived, right? It tests your effective apologetic. Is this really real, or is this another story? And then the whole second chance of Jonah. He speaks to him another time. And then the whole his personality. And I don't want to go do what you want me to do, God. It's like all these elements of evangelism.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of in that short little.
So relatable.
Yeah. And then, and then Jesus says, you guys just want the sign of Jonah. And then you're like, what is that? Right? Jonah is very cool. Yep. There's the whole 3 day.
Yeah.
There's the Hebrew literature that says there is a rebirth. A foreshadow of Christ, the Messiah.
Yep.
It's okay. Good choice. I would never have thought that. I also didn't think you would say read versus study, but I understand your reasoning. Do you have any more, or we're going to close it out?
I think we're good. I can't good? Think of anything right now. Yeah.
Pastor Sam, can I ask you to do something cool?
Hmm?
If you're okay with a little pressure.
Pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need you to lift 365 pounds. No, I'm kidding. Would you mind giving just a short gospel presentation?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know the Lord has already spoken to some of
yes,
you.
Yes, I felt
sense that. And whatever that little prompting you feel, or nudge, or burden, or whatever it is, the stirring, however you want to say that or feel it, just say, yes, Lord. I don't know what it is, and I'm not even sure it's you speaking or my own little feeling. Whatever that is, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you take that?
Yes, Lord.
And use it in the days ahead, even maybe tonight or today, that you would touch someone, Lord. And if you're listening to this and if you feel like, I can't do anything like that, I'm just ordinary. I don't even know how things are going to work out for my own personal life, much less kingdom work and all. But see, God is the God of Jonah. God is the God of Peter, who denied the Lord, cursed at him, and gave up all things, and just said, I'm not the man, but Jesus turned him around to be a useful person, not just to win all these people later, but in his own life, that he was a witness for Jesus, his Lord. So I'm just asking you and those who are listening, if you feel like you're inadequate or you're messed up, just say that to the Lord in simple faith, because none of us are perfect. I'll be the first to raise both my hands saying, yeah, I messed up.
Amen.
Things I've said, things I shouldn't have said, things I've done, I shouldn't have done, things I thought. God, we're all struggling in those areas, and the enemy, yes, the world, our own flesh, and the devil out there, you know, there's the enemy trying to mess it up, and this world's in all kinds of mess, but we give all that to you, God. And if you just say that in simple faith, God, I just believe that you died for me on that cross of Calvary. I don't understand at all how one person dying can save all these people, or how that atonement works, all these big words and theological concepts. But I just have simple, I just trust you that you did that for me. And I believe you rose again for me, just like you said. And I believe you're coming soon for me to usher in a lot of great things ahead. And I want to be part of that, Lord. And for that, I just simply put my trust in you.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing external, nothing big, no rituals, no kind of formulas, nothing. Just an open heart saying, God, forgive me, cleanse me. I repent, I confess, and I just turn to you in simple faith. I open my heart to you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new person. And show me what you want me to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The simple prayer.
Amen.
God looks at the heart. And if that's you, if that's that Holy Spirit prompting, you say, I'm willing, Lord, I'm available. Whatever you can or do, want to do.
Amen. All right. Well, we want to give a big shout out. Thank you, Dr. Pastor.
Thank you.
Missionary Sam. It's
been fun.
And
we should do it again.
Yeah. Sure. If we can help anyone, message us, email us, leave a comment like this, and we'll reach out to you. We love to hear if you guys were impacted or if you have any questions or if anything we can help you with, let us know. Thanks again, Dr. Sam. Thank you. Pastor Sam, appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in us. Amen.